Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Hero MotoCorp Limited Q4 FY21 earnings conference call hosted by JM Financial Institutional Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vivek Kumar from JM Financial. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Kumar.
Thank you, Nirav. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining in. We thank Hero MotoCorp's management for giving us the opportunity to host the call today. We have with us the senior management team from the company. I will now hand over the call to Umang Khurana, Head Investor Relations and Business Support. Thank you, and over to you, Umang.
Thank you, Vivek. Thank you for hosting us. Good day, everyone, and trust everyone is keeping well and safe. We are delighted to have all of you on the call today for our quarter four and full year results. We have with us today Naveen Chauhan, who's our Head of Sales and After-Sales, and Niranjan Gupta, who's the Chief Financial Officer. We'll begin the call with Niranjan's opening comments and then open the house for questions. Back to you, Nirav. Or let's begin with Niranjan's comments first. Niranjan?
All right. Thank you, Umang. Umang, the customary question first. Am I audible and clear?
Yes, sir.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to Hero quarter four investor call. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, depending on which part of the globe you are joining from, or simply namaskar to everyone that takes away the complication of morning, afternoon, and evening. We hope and we pray that all of you, your friends, your families, continue to stay safe and continue to ensure that we come out of this crisis, which is prevailing today in India and some part of the world, as winners on the other side. There are no doubts, and we are confident that together we can and we will. Coming to quarter four results, which we declared yesterday, let me just talk about some of the key highlights. The first one, of course, as you would have seen, is the market share gain, which is 140 basis points in terms of overall full-year gain. That gain has come after many years for us in Hero, and a substantial gain. It's been powered by scooters, which is, again, a very delightful thing for us, where we've gained almost 270 basis points, and we are back to around 10% market share. This is powered by our Pleasure Platinum and our 125cc win in some of the key markets. Of course, the road is long, but we are very confident that we can take big strides now in the space of scooter. Similarly, the other highlight within market share is premium, which has moved close to 4%. Remember that we were hardly present in premium segment, and now on the back of XPulse and Xtreme 160R, the market share has started moving up. We are sure as we build portfolio, as we have already outlined as part of our strategy, the market shares in premium will keep moving up and will be a big growth driver for us moving forward in the medium term. The third big highlight on the market share is the global business, which, as we said, we have re-strategized on focusing on few markets. As we have learned, we are putting the right products which are needed for the customers in those markets. You would have seen in FY21, we have grown at 8% versus industry decline of 6%. Of course, it's on a smaller base, but if you look at quarter four run rate, that is closer to 300,000 annually, which is almost 40%-50% higher than our erstwhile run rates, which are closer to 200,000. We are sure and confident that, again, global business will prove to be a big growth driver for us in the next 3-5 years. The fourth highlight on the top line is the parts business. As we had said earlier, the business is doing very well, led by our micro-marketing strategy, our expansion of coverage on distribution part, and this is the second successive quarter when we have crossed 1,000 crores. And in fact, it is inching now closer to 10 to 12% of revenue on a steady basis. And we are sure that this can be grown further. There are plans to this extent. Overall financials, of course, you have seen the margins in quarter four. Despite all the commodity headwinds and commodities having a steep rise, the margins on quarter four are close to 14%, which has been driven by a combination of the Leap to Savings program, which has delivered almost 300 basis point in the quarter and actually full year 200 basis point, plus, of course, judicious price increases that we have taken. And that has helped us deliver the margins that we are talking about. Just overall, these financials, as we have delivered in FY21, are after factoring in all the support that we've been providing to dealers, to vendors, to entire ecosystem, to employees, because this was a pandemic year, and therefore we needed to be supportive of all the stakeholders, protecting payroll, everything. So not cutting corners, but obviously savings where there were opportunity to be had, and that's reflected in the results, and also our focus on creating value while ensuring that all stakeholders are also taken care of. And finally, to cap it up, the cash flow, which is very, very important. As they say, that top line is vanity and profit is sanity, but cash is reality. That's an old saying. And you can see the cash flow that we have delivered is upwards of 4,000 crores in the year, which will augur us well when creating the liquidity buffer. We declared a dividend overall of 105 rupees per share, which comprised of 90 rupees normal and 15 rupees special dividend. And that should be, again, something which should be delightful for our shareholders. So that's the brief summation of our quarter four highlights. Let me now move to quarter one. These are difficult. These are challenging times. The surge in COVID 2.0 wasn't anticipated, wasn't predicted by anyone. It is impacting life. And quarter one is not the quarter to count volumes or count money, but it is the quarter to help each other, to save lives and to serve society. Profits and money will come later, but in this quarter, our focus is fully, completely on that. And towards that, as you saw, we took proactive shutdowns of our factories to ensure that there is a breaking the chain that we can help with. There are multiple actions that we have taken in terms of whether it's medical facilities, whether it's the vaccination drive or multiple CSR activities around oxygen cylinders, around helping out ambulances. So all our teams, which are not only us, but along with dealers and vendors in this time of crisis, are doing their best to help out not only the employees that are associated with us, but also the community that are around us. We do expect that with medical facilities getting ramped up in the country and with vaccination drive, all of us should be past this entire tsunami very soon. There are predictions of middle of May being the peak and therefore end of May subsiding down, and June could be a period of coming back to stream on business. And therefore, that's how we see quarter one. So therefore, quarter two is the quarter that we see that sanity to come back. And beyond that, the outlook remains positive as far as we are concerned, given that the underlying demand factors still exist completely, whether it's monsoon, crops, liquidity, or need for mobility. The GDP projections for quarter two onwards are bullish, should be double digit or 10% plus, as RBI governor has said. Of course, costs will continue to be headwind for a couple of quarters, but as you've seen from our results, we've been able to manage that. And therefore, we'll continue to navigate on that space. Within our own portfolio, our outlook is positive beyond in medium and long term, and also for the rest of the year, starting from quarter two. Our core brands have done well. As you saw, scooters are making big strides. Premium, we are building portfolio. Global business has started scaling up. We made big strides on EV as well, which will augur well for medium and long term. And you've heard all the partnerships that we have announced. And therefore, we should see all the growth drivers that we had outlined taking more and more shape and contributing more and more to our top line and bottom line. And therefore, we remain positive about our own market share and portfolio trajectory moving forward. So with that, let me now hand it back to Umang. Umang, back to you for opening the floor for questions.
Thank you, Niranjan. Thank you for your quick update on the quarter and the year gone by. Could we now take questions, please?
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Pramod Kumar from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks a lot for the opportunity and OpenPrace, the Hero ecosystem is holding up well during these tough times. Niranjan, my first question pertains to the commodity headwind. If you can just help us understand how much of the commodity headwind have we kind of absorbed and passed on to the customer, and as you look forward to FY22, how should one look at the cost implications from further hikes and its play on profitability? So if you can just help us understand this, and of course, I'm not talking about 1Q here, but broadly for the year as a whole, if you can help us understand that, sir.
Right, Pramod, again, I hope you and family and friends are all staying safe and staying strong to battle the current crisis that's happening on COVID. Coming to your question, Pramod, the commodity short answer is that the inflation, if I take the full year on inflation account, it would probably be close to around 6-7% that would have impacted the year. We've taken pricing over the year, full year, around 4%, and the balance 3% has been made up through the LEAP savings program. So that's the overall, if I look at the totality of the program, so if you were to say that around 6-7% of inflation has been absorbed in these results. Moving forward, if you were to look at, yes, commodities continue to be at a high, but at some time the supply should come in and cool off. Of course, it's very difficult to forecast commodities, and maybe I can look forward to some of your reports coming out from Goldman Sachs to look at what the commodity forecasts are. But what we have done is that, of course, the last year, FY21, was a tough year with so much of inflation. Some bit of inflation would still come into the FY22. But again, we'll continue to navigate with a combination of judicious price changes in line with industry and maintaining our product positioning, as well as the LEAPS 2 savings program, which again, full-year basis, it gave us more than 200 basis points and should continue to work for FY22 as well. So I think we should continue to navigate that part of it, and maybe, you know, probably if there's an inflation around maybe 3-4% for the coming year, then a couple of percentage can be made up from LEAP savings, and another couple of percentage could be from the prices. So that, I'm saying, Pramod, not just the quarter, but a full year outlook that we have.
That's fair enough, Niranjan. That's actually very comforting to hear on the margin side and the cost reduction side. So second and final question is on the Gogoro side. I think it's a pretty interesting move and approach what you've taken. So if you can just help us understand what would be the likely timeline for you to go commercial here? Because technology readiness is pretty much there with Gogoro, so your time to market need not be that long. And how does it fit into your existing own EV plans in Germany, what you're running from the German unit? So is there any rethink there? And finally, as it's a current environment, there's a lot of hype about or a lot of talk about or worries from the startup ecosystem, given especially some of them have made some big bang announcements. So how do you see them from your vantage point? And how would you expect this to kind of play out between the well-established incumbents and versus startups who are trying to break fresh ground in this industry? Thank you.
Right, Pramod. Pramod, on EV, as you rightly said, our own centers in Germany along with our Jaipur R&D centers have been working on our own program. That program is primarily based on fixed charging system, and that's not on a swap-based system. while the Gogoro partnership will be on a swapping system. So therefore, and as you understand that which of these two systems will become dominant, our view is probably both will work in parallel to each other, given the entire appetite and the infrastructure that exists. So in that sense, it is complementary that our own program works on a fixed charging, and then with Gogoro, then we've announced that we will work on swapping, and that allows us to play in both the spaces. You're also right so therefore it doesn't have any adverse impact, if at all, it's a favorable impact, because some part of the Gogoro learning and the products which are there or some components we could actually build in into our own fixed charging program as well from a product side of it. From a swapping system, of course, like you said, Gogoro has got ready technology, they've got proven technology, they know how it works, and there's a lot of learning that has gone into it in Taiwan. So that helps us taking off ground very, very quickly. In terms of timeline, the timeline for both is next year. I would not say which part of the next year. Obviously, we are trying to accelerate as much as we can. But right now, I would say that next calendar year, you can hope to see a lot of action on EV front from our side as far as hitting the market is concerned.
And on the startup scene, the challenge from the new startups, Niranjan, any thoughts there?
Right, Pramod. So I wouldn't comment on any specific announcement. However, what our experience is that, and you also know that any new category which is evolving, initially there will be many players who will come in, and that's some way good for category as well, because it allows the category to expand and explode. And in a sense, everyone brings to table some capability the other, but eventually then it leads to consolidation. Because this is not a play which is about an aggregation play or a software play or maybe an app play. This is a hardcore serving the customer on the vehicle, on servicing, on after sales, operationally. And it's not easy. And you would have heard even Tesla or Elon Musk saying recently that it's very easy to build prototypes and do a bit of stuff. But operationally, it's not that easy and that immediate. And therefore, this is a hard thing that will go in. So at some stage, obviously, consolidation will happen. So we are not concerned about that. I think we are focused on what the customer needs are and then how do we fulfill them. And that's how we are going about this.
Thanks a lot, Niranjan. Take care and stay safe, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Pramod, for the question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raghunandan NL from Emkay Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers given the circumstances. Sir, my first question was on the commodity part. You alluded to it and the wonderful performance there in managing commodity inflation. But approximately, can you give us an indication how much was the impact of commodity inflation in Q4 and approximately how much do you expect in Q1? My second question was on the market share. On a full year basis, company has done well and gained market share. But in the recent quarter, in 125 segment, there is some pressure on volume and market share. Is it due to inventory adjustment or are you seeing higher competition intensity in that space? And just third one, if I can squeeze, on Harley-Davidson tire, if you can give some details on plans of joint product development and any timeline. Also, if you can provide details on margins for the distribution business. Thank you.
You are testing my memory or my RAM space in my head. Anyway, I'll try to. So on material, since you are focused on quarter four, you would have seen that our quarter four material cost on a per vehicle basis has gone up by around 4-4.5%. You've seen from the results. And out of that, you can say that parts have contributed because parts percentage has gone up. That's around 2%. And on two-wheeler, if you isolate, then it would be around net 2.5%. Now, this net 2-2.5% is after factoring a leap saving of 300 basis points in the quarter. So effectively, the quarter four absorbs almost 500 basis point of 5% increase growth in the material cost. That's a better way to put it. And therefore, that is what gets absorbed in the results that you see. In terms of market share, let me address the Harley-Davidson first, and then I'll give the market share question to Naveen to answer. On the Harley-Davidson tie-up, as we have said, the distribution business has already started. We are the exclusive distributors for Harley, and that business has started. Around 14-15 dealers have been appointed, all from their existing system, and the business is off to a start. Of course, the key part of the Harley-Davidson tie-up is the license to build the mid-weight segment, which is the segment which is a very profitable segment, as you know, and the lead player has the market share of around 90%. So there, this whole thing of developing the bike and putting out in the market, both under Harley name and Hero name, that is something which is the key part of the HD tie-up, and the teams have already started working and progressing on that. Naveen, can you take up the question on the market share, where the question was that the full year we have gained, but in the recent times or recent months or quarters, we would have seen some softening from our side. So, what are we doing about it, and is that fundamental or otherwise? Naveen, over to you.
Yeah, thank you. Namaskar to everyone. Hope everyone is keeping safe and sound. Now, regarding the question, while Niranjan, you in your initial address, you had talked about the market share gains in different markets overall. I'll do a double click there, and maybe that will have an answer to the question that has been asked. So while you've talked about gains in scooters premiums, on the overall market share, if I take a breakup of urban and rural, we've gained in urban, we've held on to our rural market share. We've looked at the top markets, we've gained in the top markets. Now what, on the question, coming to the question specific, see, at no point of time you will see quarter and quarter the market share would be running at a uniform level. They are a mix or outcome of multiple factors playing in, you know, which segments are doing better, both in terms of, you know, product segment or geographical, and also how are the various occasions. India, there's a lot of occasion buying that happens, right? And hence, how is the occasion fitting in into various segments? So Q4 is an aberration. Q1 is what we are looking at. But unfortunately, there is an impact of COVID which is coming. But that's something that will manifest as the time comes. So for me, Q4 is an aberration, but there was a specific question that was asked about 125cc also. 125cc, there is a sequential gain. Now, 125cc got two strong products in terms of Super Splendor and Glamour. We've seen some hit on the Glamour in its core market, but the, you know, when we conceptualize the product in the BS6 avatar, you know, it was to attract a new segment of consumers which are emerging as a you know, growing segment. We've gained pan India except its core markets. There is a feedback that we've received from the consumers in the core markets. We're working on that. We've been agile in past. We are agile now. And quickly you will see some action which is coming in up in the segment. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. That was very helpful. Just a small clarification for Q1, what kind of commodity impact you are looking at?
Right. Let me take that up. So for, as I said, it's very difficult to forecast quarter by quarter commodity impact. And I did respond to Pramod on this question that maybe looking at what is going around that year, the full year may see an impact of around 4% inflation on the commodity, because large part of the commodity inflation has come in FY21 and towards quarter four. And obviously we plan to then make it up, so that the impact on margins is minimized. So therefore, partly through price increase and partly through through savings program and a combination of all these things, so that the balance between margin, market share, and impact on customers is maintained.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
A request to all the participants, please restrict to two questions per participant. If time permits, please come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Nishit Jalan from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on very, very good set of numbers. So my question is on the cost reduction side. Hero has been in this two-wheeler industry for quite long and a very, very well-oiled machine on the cost side. I'm very surprised to see positively to see these kind of 200, 300, this kind of cost reduction benefits coming in just 1 year. So wanted to understand and get more color as to what is driving this cost increase. It's a very steep increase coming in an organization which is already very cost efficient in just 1 year time frame. So some more details on this would be very, very useful.
Right. Nishit, thanks for the question. See, what happens is that whenever a cost base gets restated, which is what happens when we move from BS4 to BS6, and you know in BS6 regime, the cost actually went up by between, I would say, 12 to 14 or 15% because of BS6. So whenever a rebasing of cost happens, it again presents an opportunity to save on that. So that is why you see that if it was just BS4, probably it would not have been feasible to deliver this kind of saving. But as the costs have got rebased, then the opportunities emerged, because initially it was all towards ensuring that the products are robust and they are delivered in the market and they perform in the market. And now after that, just alongside R&D and sourcing and the entire system has started working on what we can save on top of that. So therefore, that's the program. And out of that, one of the major programs is the precious metal, which is the CATCON, and a loading reduction, a combination. As you know, there are three metals, which is rhodium, platinum, and palladium. You can work with different combinations of those. You can reduce loading by adding something else. So those are the programs that have given bulk, I would say, 60-70% of these savings, and other savings have come from different areas. But obviously, as you go through a more squeeze on margins or costs, then obviously you start looking at every angle once again. And that is what we've been doing.
So, sir, what I understand is a bulk of the cost savings have come from fuel injection and the catch-up costs that we have started to put in after BS6, right? And, sir, these costs, these are kind of bought-out parts that we are getting from suppliers, right? So if suppliers are doing these kind of cost reductions, should these benefits not flow to the entire sector or all the OEMs present? Or is it something really specific which Hero is doing at their end, which means that the benefit is only for Hero and not for other players?
No, Nishit, this is not the FI system. This is the CATCON loading that happens in the product, which is combined of these three materials. So it is not a bought-out part. So essentially, you consume less of these metals, which is platinum, palladium, and rhodium. And the combination of those depends on your R&D, how you are able to size it up. So in a sense, I would call it flex formulation, where you can use a different combination of these to achieve the same result and same BS6 output in terms of emission norms. So it won't be same standard across for each of the companies or players. Different players will have different solutions. Even between FI and CARB, there will be different flexibilities existing.
Okay. Sir, sorry to harp on this a little bit more. Sir, if I understand correctly, 200 to 300 basis points cost savings indicates almost 1,000 to 1,500 rupees savings on a per vehicle basis. So what would be the content of precious metals typically in a bike? My understanding was it was around 1,500 to 2,000 rupees originally. Was it much higher originally and you have brought it down significantly to get these kind of cost savings per bike, or there is something else to it as well?
So I wouldn't now give out my entire BOM cost and details to you, because obviously that's confidential and competitively sensitive information. But just to give you a hint, that all the precious metals, their prices have gone up by 100, 150, 200%. So therefore, whatever the cost was, base was there itself has gone up. And then obviously through a combination and flex formulation, like I said, then, and that's an intense R&D program, by the way. So it's not just bought out part negotiation that happened. Offline, of course, you can talk to Mang more later. But obviously, beyond a point, we will not give out sensitive details of that.
Got your point. And so my second question is on the spare side, because it's the second consecutive quarter now where we have seen a significant growth on that front. So firstly, if you can share numbers of this quarter, and secondly, what are the structural factors or drivers which you are taking to bring this spare revenues higher, or is just a factor that in the 1Q and 2Q spare revenues were lower, and that is the reason why we have seen much higher spare revenues in the second half. I'm just trying to assess what is more sustainable and what is more transient in nature on the spare side of the business.
So let me take this first, and then I'll ask Naveen to supplement, which is, as you would have seen, so if it was just one quarter phenomenon, you could have said that it is transient. Even that time we said that it is based on underlying drivers, which Naveen will spell out, but it is a successive quarter of 1,000 crore plus, and we are now moving from what we used to have 7-8% of the revenue comfortably to 10% of the revenue and potentially to 12% of the revenue moving forward. But let me not steal the thunder from Naveen. And Naveen, you can outline this entire story of how our parts growth is being driven and how sustainable it is and what are our plans. Over to you, Naveen.
Yeah, thank you. Maybe I'll try and explain it in a simplistic fashion. The two areas wherein the consumption is, one is our own captive market, which are our dealerships and authorized workshop, and then the second part is the aftermarket beyond our dealerships. For 2 years now, we've been running a program called NPS 60, which is to enhance our consumer satisfaction level and take our net promoter score level from 12, which was 12 and, 2.5 years back, to 60. So fundamentally, making our processes and systems very, very robust, very strong at our own dealerships, and hence retain the consumers and increase our space revenue and other consumers. So that's one piece, and which is going on, and fundamentally it is on the right space. Also, in terms of retaining and getting our lost customers back, we are reaching out. So there is a micro distribution of service. That's also a concept that we are working on. We've tested that in some certain select markets, and it's giving results. So there is fundamentally the business grows in our authorized segment, and its contribution is going to go up. The second piece is which is aftermarket. Now, aftermarket, around 3 years ago, we had a certain level of distribution system wherein we had super stockists distributors. We've gone micro there as well, and hence this customer intimacy, which is core to our approach in sales and after sales, is being played out in the aftermarket spare parts domain as well. So we've got closure to our customers. We've got 100,000 technicians on board with us. The number of technicians who deal with us has doubled in last 1 year, getting in contact with us. Number of retail points, that's micro distribution further to the third tier level, that has also gone up fundamentally, right? So fundamentals are in place. Now distribution footprint is in place. And I would say we have done with 70% of the market as yet. We are yet to do, and because of the pandemic last year, we could not complete the full. So 30% still remains. With 70% is the kind of growth that you're seeing right now. So hence there is an upside available in times to come. So broadly, that's on distribution. And yes, there is a lot of work which is structurally getting into. Thank you.
Thanks, Naveen. Thanks a lot. Just to add on, our teams are also working on expanding the accessories and merchandising, which is a very small business today, but a huge potential exists in terms of not only revenue, but also creating a branding through that.
Thank you very much. A request to all the participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant. If time permits, please come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Kapil Singh from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Congrats on a great set of results, and also pretty heartening to see the kind of effort that entire management is putting in and in these tough times to take care of the community. So wish you all the best for that. Firstly, my question is on the export side. Niranjan, you alluded to the fact that export run rate is touching almost 300,000 numbers. So just some thoughts on that. Would that be a right kind of level to look at for next year, or would you look at even better numbers because there are launches due for some of the key markets like Nigeria. So just some update on the timeline of new launches and the export run rates that you expect.
Thanks, Kapil, for the question. Yes, what I highlighted was just extrapolating the quarter four and therefore a run rate, because we don't want to take a month and extrapolate, but I think there was a quarter which you can extrapolate, and that's where it is. But yes, we would like it to be higher than this for sure. And there are, as you rightly said, there are multiple launches which are planned, whether it's Nigeria, etc. As you know, we've opened up Mexico. The orders have started coming in. Mexico is a big market. Colombia, where we were stuck at around 4% market share for quite some time, in the last three quarters have moved to 6% market share, and Colombia is again a 500,000 market. So therefore, there's a big potential there as well. Bangladesh, the strategy has been reworked to increase market share. So there are, honestly, there are multiple actions. And would the internal team be happy with even this run rate? My answer would be no. But then, of course, you got to build it. And obviously, we would like to come out with better numbers than these and then delight you.
Okay, that's great to hear. Secondly, I also wanted to check on this Gogoro tie-up and the JV. Could you talk about what are the revenue streams that we can expect here? What is the kind of investment that we can expect? Because battery swapping probably will be a much more capital intensive model as well, right? So what kind of investments have you earmarked for this?
So Kapil, the business case and the investment, and in fact the business model itself, is being worked out, yeah, and therefore, once we do the business model, then one can work out which way it will be done. I mean, whether it will be entire, capital intensive, whether it will be franchise, whether how does it dovetail with Fame, so etc. etc. And if you look at our strategy, and again to just reiterate, the primary own thing was our teams are working on fixed charging. That also we'll have, which is our own product, which we are doing, in Germany in combination with our own Jaipur R&D as well. That will start with fixed charging, but gradually it will also have a swapping option. And now you have the Gogoro, which is a ready swapping option. Yeah, so without waiting for a swap option to get developed on our own product. So you have a ready option with Gogoro as a swapping option. So I think all of these business models will get worked out, and essentially once it gets worked out and fine-tuned, then we can come back to you in terms of what exactly the investments would be and the revenue streams would be.
Sure. And sir, could you give the sales number for the quarter? I think you didn't give the number.
Sorry?
The sales number for the quarter?
Yeah. Sales number for the quarter was 1,050 crores for quarter four, FY21. The Q4 FY20 was 751 crores. And just the previous quarter, which is Q3 FY21, was 1,034 crores.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
On a full year basis, FY21 was 3,178. And full year 20 was 2,896 crores, just to complete the picture.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mukesh Saraf from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. And thank you for the opportunity. First question is on the EVs again. If you look at the Gogoro tire, plus you're doing your own vehicle, plus you're also going to be participating via Ather. Could you give some sense on how are we going to be positioning these three products? Would one be, could the price points, give some sense on the price points, at least directionally, would the Gogoro one be right at the bottom and then probably your own product and then some sense on how you're looking at these three products that you're approaching this market?
I think you will have to wait for the product to be launched for the pricing and the positioning to be revealed. And as I said, you know, the launch is next year, and next is the calendar year. Of course, we are targeting, as you would have heard our CEO also say, targeting fiscal year 22 launch itself. But yeah, so you will see multiple actions from us in 2022.
Right, but very qualitatively, if you could give some sense, because obviously you will be finalizing your modalities, etc. Given that you've already entered these three ways and looked at entering in these three ways, some sense.
Nothing right now. So let the suspense be there for some period of time.
Sure. Not problem.
Okay.
And second question is, related to this, we looked at, in the last year or so, you've had two global tie-ups, one with HD and one with Gogoro. But when I look back, say, 10 years, post the split with Honda, we've not really, had too many of these JVs. While competition has been, tying up with some of these MNCs. Is there some change in thought process there? Have you, kind of earmarked some, investments towards JVs to address some of these areas that we've been lacking in the past?
So, Mukesh, we've already been tying up. So, as you've seen, of course, you are right when you say, last maybe a few years, 3-4 years or whatever. But if you see, we are seeing with where would a JV or a tie-up make sense? What is our own M&A strategy? And then we are going as per that. So if you look at it, that's how in the premium segment, we tied up with Harley-Davidson. And that's something that obviously augments the entire premium strategy very well. We've tied up with Gogoro in EV. So you already see two big tie-ups that we have done in very recent past. So honestly, we are, doing what is actually required as a strategy for the business.
Right, so it's not like a change in thought process because you've not been doing these tie-ups all these years. So it's not like there's been a change in strategy internally and you've set aside some bit of investments that you want to do towards some of these global JVs.
Well, tie-ups always also depend on two parties coming together and also the strategic direction. And third is that both parties should come to a commercial understanding, which is win-win relationship. So many times you keep working on those and then the fusion happens at certain point in time. So it's not that we started working on these 6 months back and now it has happened. So it's not a change big change in thinking. However, if you see our new vision and mission, which is be the future of mobility and mission being create, collaborate, inspire, clearly collaboration acquires a big space in our strategy moving forward.
Sure. Understood. Right. Thank you so much. I'll get back with you.
Yep.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Binay Singh from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations for a very good quarter amid challenging time. Most of my questions have been answered. Just 2-3 follow-ups from previous questions. One is, could you remind us what are the price hikes that you have taken this year? Secondly, could you talk a little bit about any update on the Harley-Davidson side? We've talked about product development with them. Like you said, the Gogoro model be available in financial year 23. When do we start seeing some sort of a product action along with Harley-Davidson? Which year would you pencil that in, or any capex that you have allocated towards that? That's it. Thank you.
So, Bene, price increase, I think I already outlined, but just to repeat, over the year, we took price increase to the tune of around 4%, combined all the quarters. If you look at HD, we won't be able to give out any timing right now, but obviously both the teams have already started working on in terms of the product to be launched. Third is on EV, as I said, not 23, I said that it will be 2022, which is the next calendar year, and we are trying to launch in fiscal year 22 one of the EV products, and you will see multiple actions, whether it is our own product or a swap product or with Gogoro, all of those actions that you will see in the next calendar year.
Great. Thanks for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Kumar from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my question. My first question was more of clarification. So have we started booking revenue for Harley Davidson distribution network, which has got empaneled with us?
Yes, we have.
So can you please quantify what would be for this quarter?
That would be a small portion because overall, in terms of the context of the sales, that happens and the revenue that happens, it will not be a significant portion. But offline, Umang can actually give you more details.
Sure. Thanks for that. My next question was more on the realization part. So from pre-PS6 level to now, our realization has increased by 20%. What do you see its implication on the demand side? Because a large part of it is driven through the price increases and not much on the mix side. So how do you see its implication on demand? Does that make our demand or growth much more volatile in times of weakness underlying? And as a market leader, what are we doing to mitigate that?
So let me take it first and then I'll ask Naveen to supplement. So firstly, I think it's not right to combine all the price increases because what happens is that A, what is the price increase for and how it is communicated, what are the other industry players doing, and that's how it sets the expectation. So if you look at BS4 to BS6, which is the bigger one, which is around 15%, obviously the product BS6 was not same as BS4. It was the FI system, new technology, better mileage, lot of features. So in a sense that you are giving value to the customer and not just a regulatory change, and that's how it was also communicated as well. Of course, after that, the 4-5% that has happened is on account of inflation, and it's got certain elasticity and demand impact. But then finally, it comes down to fundamental demand drivers of the and the need for mobility solution. And what we are doing is that while we are trying to cushion the pricing impact, we are also trying to put affordable solutions. And let me now hand it over to Naveen to talk further about this. Naveen.
Yeah, so Niranjan, you've captured it very, very well. And we've been successfully been able to communicate the value story to the consumer. And right at the entry segment, if you look at in Splendor and RHS, there is increase in market share that we have. And it's primarily because in these segments, we have given the value of the new technology to the consumers. So that has played well. And I think at this point of time, you know, how do we make the affordable solutions for the consumers? They're in the, you know, hold the key for the industry growth. We've launched X and Y solutions recently, wherein the EMI comes down by 30%. We are testing it in certain select markets. We're going to go horizontal deployment to the rest of the markets. Two-wheeler industry still operates slightly on the higher side as far as the financing cost is concerned. And that's one space to address. So I think the solution for growing the segment and industry lies in the adjacent space, and we're working on this.
Okay. Thank you for that. I'll fall back in with you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amin Parim from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. My first question was, you know, more on the here and now, because obviously in the last 1.5 months, we've seen different states going into this lockdown phase in different times. So can you give us a sense of your most recent reading of, you know, how things were on the ground, both in terms of demand as well as inventory levels, and you know what we were seeing in terms of rural and urban? Because while we are at the same place like we were last year, same month, I think this time around the dynamics of rural and urban are different. At least that's what we understand. So any sense on that will be very.
So I mean, look, you know, we are like you said, we are facing not just similar times as last year, but actually much more challenging times, as we can see from the numbers, the infections, and the consequences that are happening. And of course, more and more states are also going gone under lockdown. In fact, most of the states, I think, have announced already. So this would not be the time, again, to read any kind of underlying demand or inventory levels or rural urban. I think this quarter is about everyone coming together to help each other and get over this humanitarian crisis. And then thereafter, from quarter two onwards, as I said, the fundamental drivers of the demand would return. We don't see any underlying issue with any of the key factors that drive demand in two-wheelers. You know, whether it is monsoon, announced normal crop levels, or fundamental rural income or need for mobility, I think all of those factors should come back. So I think that would really be the time, the quarter two time, is that when you start looking at these factors again. Amen.
Okay, okay. Thanks for that. And but secondly, you know, just going back to the EV question. So now, obviously, you have a kind of a three-pronged approach to this. You have Ather, you have your own product, you have Gogoro. And almost every other legacy OEM also has some product or the other, you know, out in the market. And then we have, you know, the startups, one specific one who has made a big announcement. So according to you, you know, when is the inflection point for EV two-wheelers? Is it 6 months down the line, 2 years down the line, in your best, you know, best guess? And how prepared are you in terms of, you know, all three things coming together for you? And is there a kind of volume that you are thinking from your side that you want to be prepared for if things really take off in the segment?
So, I mean, look, right now, to do a crystal ball gazing is very difficult because it's a category that's evolving. There will be an inflection point beyond which it can start growing much faster. And as you know, a lot of factors have to come in together on this. And therefore, as a player, what we are doing is to accelerate our EV program, and which is what you see, where our own R&D is working on our own product, which will come under both options, which is fast charging, and swap in a gradual manner, tied up with Gogoro, which gives a faster on-the-road swapping solution, and of course, invested in Ather. So I think, you know, this is a category which is where we have to put actions on ground, which we have done. And therefore, I would say that we are well geared and moving towards that. Of course, as you launch products, as different people will experience the customers and the customer habits and the learnings, this category will go through a lot of evolution. So, you know, before it reaches any kind of saturation for it to, or maturity level, for it to then start growing on a steady basis. So I think it would be, I would say, wait and watch. And we are getting fully geared up, as you can see, from the acceleration in the actions that we have taken.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue.
Thanks, Amin.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sonal Gupta from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. This one was, could you sort of give the other operating income for the quarter? And then what is the capex that you expect for FY? What was the capex in FY21 and what are you expecting for FY22?
Yeah, so the other operating revenue, as you can see, because it's given out the parts revenue and you have the overall for the quarter was 206 crores for quarter four. The quarter three was 192 crores. And obviously the previous, which is the Q4 of FY20, was 137 crores, which was a truncated quarter. So that's the that was the operating revenue. Sorry, what was your next question?
Sorry about the background noise, but I was asking about the FY21 capex number and what is the forecast for FY22?
Right. So as far as FY21 is concerned, I think we spent around 600 crores of capex, but offline Umang can give you more fine-tuned numbers. It's there in the cash flow statement. As far as next year is concerned, we are not outlining any numbers as of now. As you know, as far as quarter one is concerned, all of us are going through a very different level of crisis and challenges, and then we'll recalibrate our capex and the cash plan.
Sorry, and just to follow up on that, I mean, like, how do you think about, like, while you are taking these multiple pronged approaches on the EV side, in terms of, I mean, setting up any dedicated EV capacity, or do you think one of your existing plants could be sort of repurposed to be a dedicated EV facility? How are you thinking about that?
So again, this is something that our teams, we have, as we had announced long back, EMBU, which is Emerging Mobility Business Unit, and that business unit is looking at all aspects, manufacturing, sourcing, even selling and marketing. So a lot of work is happening on that, other than the product work that I already talked about.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Shah from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for the model. So I have a question on the premium motorcycle category. Sometimes that we have articulated, we are looking to have a bouquet of 5, 7, 8 products, and that's how we are looking at the premium category. Where are we in that journey, and that would include Harley as a part of that strategy? We have seen 2 launches. More launches likely to happen. And a follow-up question, because of this uncertainty around COVID, are your product launch timings or schedules getting altered or postponed? And
thanks, Chirag. As you rightly said, we had embarked on this premium strategy in terms of filling the portfolio right across all the CC and right across all the segments. You've already seen us coming out with Xtreme 160R, you've seen it coming out with X-Pulse, and you will see more and more products coming out every year. So that's where I would stop. In terms of launches, are we delaying launches? No, we are not. As of now, all our launch plans and pipeline plans, which are there for the next 3 to 5 years, they remain exactly of what they were.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And all the rest to that.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal Financial Service. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. My question first, clarification, the cost inflation numbers which you talked on, savings numbers which you talked on, leap, they are on YY basis or quarter on quarter?
Year on year basis, the 200 basis point leap saving program which I talked about. Which we used to have 60 to 70 basis point, which is what we had been saying earlier.
Sure, sure. Any sense on RM cost and commodity inflation on QQ basis, how it could be?
Very difficult, Jinesh, to forecast. Everyone who's forecasted commodity, whether it is on up or down, has been proven wrong. I think it's best to focus on
actual inflation in fourth quarter on QQ basis.
Yeah, actually we talked about the material cost increase, which has happened, as you can see from the published result. It is 4.5% increase in material cost, of which the two-wheeler is 2.5%. And if you really gross it up for the leap savings for the quarter, it would amount to inflation of close to around 5% on material in Q4.
Okay, got it. Second question pertains to the Harley-Davidson distribution income accounting. So we just booked the distribution margins in our revenues, or how it works?
No, it's a full revenue, no? It's a full P&L. As a distributor, we buy from Harley, and then we sell it onwards to the dealers. So it's a full revenue that comes.
Right. And lastly, with respect to financing, can you give some flavor of how was financing in fourth quarter, finance penetration, and how did Hero FinCorp perform for 521?
Yeah, so our financing in fourth quarter, Jinesh, was at 48% around, which went into financing, and the FinCorp share was 40%.
Okay, and any sense on HFCL's financial performance?
I have no, that's not a listed entity, but all I can say is that they are back in terms of their business and growing, and they are maintaining a good capital adequacy and all the relevant ratios.
Okay, great. Thanks. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that will be the last question for today. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Umang Khurana for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for coming in. Been a pleasure discussing our numbers with you. Please keep safe everyone. Please take care of yourselves. And hopefully when we meet after the quarter one results, we'll all be smiling even more. Keep safe. Talk soon. Bye bye.
Just for intervention. We have to keep smiling even now to win over this battle. And I'm confident, not hopeful, that when we have the next quarterly call, we won't be discussing COVID anymore.
God willing. Thank you so much for that, Niranjan. Thanks, thanks Vivek, GMF, for hosting us. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for joining the call.
Thank you very much. On behalf of JM Financial Institutional Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.